In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning, our second lesson comes from St. Luke's story known as the Parable of the Rich Fool. Jesus is asked by one of those people listening to his teaching to bid his brother to share his inheritance with him. Jesus warns the man to beware of covetousness. Of course, thou shalt not covet is one of the Ten Commandments. For a man's life, Jesus says, does not consist of what he owns. And then Jesus tells this parable. One year a man has a bountiful harvest, so bountiful that he realizes he has a problem that he's never had before. Where am I going to put all of the grain? My barns aren't big enough. So he says, I know what I'll do. Being a good businessman, he said, I'll tear down my old barns and I'll put up new and bigger ones. So far, it seems like there's certainly nothing wrong. It seems like the very wise thing to do. But then Jesus reveals the problem with his plan. Because the man says, I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat. Drink. Be merry. And then the parable ends with Jesus' startling words. Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And so the things you have prepared, whose will they be? And Jesus says, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. I think this parable that Jesus told was really to raise up the issue of what are the real priorities of our life. Where is our life centered? And it's not to diminish the fact that we all have existential needs. So you have to work to provide for yourself. You have to be wise with how you manage your money. I'm always amazed at the athletes, you know, who make $30 million a year. And then their career ends and you find out they're broke. And you kind of say, how is that possible? Well, maybe like the man in the parable, eat, drink, be merry, blow it all, have a great life, have a great time. Maybe by the world's standards, having 14 fancy cars in 6 houses is a sign to them that they've made it. But Jesus, in dealing with this man, will have none of this worldly philosophy, because the first priority for us all is our relationship with God. All can be lost in the twinkling of an eye. He died that night, or as the parable story goes, was he ready spiritually to die? So the issue, I think, is what are our real everyday priorities and our focus? Where do we center every moment of every day? His priorities got lost. His success pulled him away from what is important. You know, riches and wealth can do that to people. But the only thing that is of eternal value to you and to me is the health of our souls. You know, the soul is eternal. Our bodies are not. We're going to all die. At least our bodies. But our soul is not going to die. The soul lives forever, eternally. The question of whether it will spend eternity in the glory of God in heaven, or conversely, in hell, is the real question. Because it's one or the other. People talk all the time about heaven. Nobody talks about hell. It's too uncomfortable for people. But the reality is, we're either going to be eternally connected to God's love or eternally separated from God's love. And I don't presume to be able to tell you what heaven will be like or what hell will be like. We all have images of that. But I do know this for sure, that true happiness in life and true joy and true peace can only be ours when our souls are healthy, because they are being fed and nourished by God's love. A life that is devoid of the love of God will never be fulfilled. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. The soul has to be fed every bit as much as our bodies have to be fed. One of the ways we do that is we gather here every Sunday, and I thank God for each of you and your faithfulness. We're feeding our souls. I know we have a wonderful reception soon to come. And it's a wonderful time of fellowship. But when we pray together, when we hear scripture together, when we reflect together, we're feeding our souls. There's another story in Luke's gospel which tells a similar story to the parable of the rich fool. Sadly, I think it's a very little known story. I'm not sure why, but I want to read it this morning. It's the story in chapter 16 called Dives and Lazarus. Dives is a Latin name, and it means rich man. From the 16th chapter of Luke, let me read this short story about Dives and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, full of sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man, Dives, also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may pass from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." The point of both stories is that you and I only live a very short time. What matters is not whether we have purple clothing, feasts on our table. Dives had all that. I guess that old adage, "You can't take it with you," is not a bad one to think about. But our possessions, we all know this, and the older most of us get, the more we understand it. Possessions are just things, stuff, cluttering our lives, a lot of it. Lazarus, the poor beggar, sat at the gate. He was the one spending eternity in heaven. And the point of the story at the end is, once the decision is made, it cannot be reversed. You either believe and spend eternity with God in His love, or you spend eternity in hell. The decision is an individual one. No one can make it for you, and no one can undo it, because each of us are the stewards of our own soul. It's a gift we have received. It's who we really are, our soul. And having a soul, we need to feed it with God's love. what Jesus did say was, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our treasure will be where we orient our hearts and our souls. In those riches found in Christ are unlike the riches of the world. They cannot be taken from us. They can't be passed on to others. Let us pray today that we would remember that as we feed our bodies three times a day, a meal, to nourish it, we should spend three times a day devotionally feeding our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.